Yep, there's one bread, one body.
Between my two pillars.
Welcome to worship at Advent. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Please be seated.
The first lesson this morning is from Daniel chapter 12. We'll read the whole chapter. God's deliverance comes after destruction. Transformation happens when the deck has been wiped clean, when castles have been razed. What might need to be torn apart in your life before God can make it new? At that time, Michael, the archangel, who stands guard over your nation, will arise. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who turn many to righteousness will shine like stars forever. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end. Many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked and saw two others standing on opposite banks of the river. One of them asked the man dressed in linen, who was now standing above the river, "How long will it be until these shocking events happen?" The man dressed in linen, who was standing above the river, raised both his hands towards heaven and took this solemn oath by the one who lives forever. It will go on for a time, times, and half a time. When the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end, all these things will have happened. I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. So I asked, "How will this finally end, my Lord?" But he said, "Go now, Daniel, for what I have said is for the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. From the time the daily sacrifice is taken away and the sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshipped, there will be 1,290 days. And blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 16, printed page 4 of your bulletin. We'll read responsively at the asterisk. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup.
It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land.
Indeed, I have a godly heritage.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel.
My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I shall not fall.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices.
My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave. You will show me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
The second lesson for this morning is from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 31 to 39. The power of Jesus' sacrifice, his giving of himself, is that his offering transforms those who are covered by its justice. Though we are fickle and forgetful, Jesus' death and resurrection can make us new. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't forget those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. When all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew you had better things waiting for you in eternity. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord, no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And a righteous person will live by faith. But I will have no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn their backs on God and seal their fate. We have faith that assures our salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of the Lord according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Old Testament reading from Daniel spoke about the end times. The Gospel reading in the same way is about the end times. Hebrews is about a time of persecution, not necessarily at the end, but a time of real challenge. So hear that in that context. Mark 13, starting at verse 14. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down or enter the house to take anything out. I want to stop there just for a second. Think about the ravages of the fires in California over the past weeks. In a small way, that sounds a lot like what is being spoken about in the gospel, that there's no time, we need to run. Then starting again in verse 16, let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because there will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning when God created the world until now and never to be equaled again. If the Lord has not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. This morning I want to speak out of the letter to the Hebrews, and I want to pick out three words: remember, persevere, and receive. And because I might get a little befuddled in my thinking, I'd like to make sure you can help remind me if I forget. So repeat after me: remember,
remember.
Persevere,
persevere,
receive.
Receive.
And if I forget one of those, please prompt me. So here's the context I want to speak about is this. In this past week, I have spent quite a bit of time in Delaware. The pastor of a close friend, the pastor of a church in Delaware is a close friend. And on Wednesday afternoon, his wife died unexpectedly. She was sitting in her chair in her office, and her heart stopped. And it was just a shocking thing. He and his wife are both about 50. So from my perspective, that's no worse than late middle age, but not at a time when you expect death. She was healthy. There were no symptoms before this. And a part of what made it really difficult is they have six grown kids that are on their own, and they have five adopted children, three of whom they adopted last month. And they range from preschool to early elementary. So it's really a challenging time. And so I was there with the family, along with some other neighbors, and just to try to comfort and support. And you know, one of the things that I know you've experienced this, when someone dies, you often feel like this: I don't know what to say. And the truth is, there isn't anything to say. You just have to be there and be available. So then yesterday we had the service for Debbie. Her name's Debbie Swanger. And hundreds were there. It was an amazing thing. But there's still this dramatic void in the family. And one of the things that we did Wednesday, and this is really what led me to think about this passage, we spent time after going through, well, here's what happened. We began to talk about remembering the role that she had in the lives of the little kids, as well as the adult kids, as well as grandkids. Remember when mom and grandma and my wife did such and such, and there was laughter, and there was, of course, a lot of crying. But a part of our life, as we seek to walk as Christians, remembering is really important. Remembering what it was like in the early days. Before the service, Robert was talking to me about a significant time that he had in India, that it's like you were still there when you were telling it. It's important for us to remember what it was like when the light came on for us spiritually, that Jesus is real. He's not just remembered by a cross, but he still lives and wants to come into our hearts as our Lord and Savior. And so we spent time thinking about that. And when you were going through struggles, like is talked about in Hebrews, here was what was the background for the letter to the Hebrews. Early Christians had been persecuted. If you remember in Acts, Stephen was stoned to death because of his confession of who Jesus was. Others were killed. Herod killed James, the brother of John. And as that went forward in the Roman Empire, there were several persecutions. And especially in the time after Paul's death in about 65 to the end of the first century, there were several persecutions that happened. And so the writer to the Hebrews, who is not identified, was saying, I know you've had a hard time, but understand that there'll be more struggles up ahead. And so it's important, number one, that you remember what it was like when you first came to the Lord, when the light came on. Speaking of the light coming on, I'm making some changes in my home. I'm turning my study into a bedroom, so that people can come and stay more comfortably than on a day bed. And as a part of that, I'm also changing my own bedroom. And you know how it is. I could make my way around the house in the dark completely because I know where everything is. All of a sudden, I don't know where everything is. And I've got several bruises on my legs from bumping into stuff that I forgot that I had moved. And so the scripture says in Hebrews, remember that time when the light came on. And what happens for me at home, I bump in, I turn on the light. Oh yeah, I forgot I moved the furniture. There was a time in your life as a Christian when all of a sudden spiritually the light came on and you understood that Jesus was real? And the author is saying, remember what that was like. Remember the joy when you first came to understand that Jesus was not just a legend, but a real person and a real Savior. It changes everything. It changes our perspective. So remember. Now, your first test, what's the second word? Once more? Thank you. I just wanted to double check. Persevere. And the author talks about that, that it's important in your life that you persevere even when you go through difficult times. I shared this word with Bob this week as he begins to see his life in a whole new way, that the core, the emotional core of the family is now in heaven, and that it's important to persevere, to walk through difficult times. The hundreds of families in California that have lost everything physically other than their lives, they need to persevere to say, okay, my whole life is not going to be lived in ashes. I'm going to walk through it and get to a place where life, normal life, will be established. And when you go through things, you have all, if you're not going through a struggle right now, physically, relationally, financially, Hebrews is saying, don't worry about it, friends, you will. That's a part of life. That we struggle at times. It could be really a challenge. And Hebrews is saying, persevere through those times. We may not be living in the time of great persecution in the Roman Empire or in what we read in Daniel and Mark. But who knows? It may be closer than we think. But regardless, when you go through times of just challenging difficulty, I remember when we moved from New York, didn't have a home, didn't have a job, and Tammy and I talked about what's our future going to be like. We stayed for 3 months with my parents in a two-bedroom home, and they had one bedroom, and there were five of us in the other. But we persevered. And that's an important element in life, that when you're in a difficult time, even if it's a time of grieving, the rest of your life is not going to be spent grieving. You push forward. I used to be a runner. Now I'm a biker. Until several years ago, I was a runner. I changed because of having mercy on my back. And one of the things with running, you get winded, you get tired, but then you break through to a place where all of a sudden you have a second wind. When I ran in my first 10K in Columbus, I'd been practicing through the late winter and spring, and we were going up a hill, only maybe a couple miles into the race, into the run, and I could not make it. I was wearing out. And an old guy, probably about my age today, I was 31, ran up next to me and he said, "Buddy, this is your first race, isn't it?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Take smaller steps and you'll be fine." So I changed my pace and the hill was not a problem. Sometimes we need people to come alongside of us and say, "You can do it." That's the role of Christian friends. It's the role of the Holy Spirit. You can do it. You persevere, got to the top of that relative hill, and the rest was somewhat easy. But along the way, it was during the summer, there were many people who were on the ground. They were exhausted. There were medical people who came and assisted them. We need someone to help us to persevere, to get through this difficult time in our lives, knowing that this is not the rest of our life. This is just a brief period. And so we persevere. Such an important thing. So remember when the light came on. Remember those good days. Persevere through whatever the struggle is that you're going through now. One of the things that the church will not need to persevere through is clearing the sidewalks around the church with a great new snowblower that's in the lobby. It's awesome. Thank you, Ray. And then the third word is receive. And you know, at Thanksgiving, we receive family. We receive side dishes that the family will bring, and you will enjoy that. And afterwards, you will say, why did I eat so much? Now, going back to the poignant time in Delaware, one of the discussions that was had by the five daughters of Bob was, oh my God, what do we do at Thanksgiving? That was always something Mom did. And so they began to, actually, one of the sisters took notes. Well, here's what we're going to do. You're going to do such and such. You're going to do such and such. You're going to do such and such. And so they've made a plan to get through the first very difficult days together as a family. And that's what we need to do. And they were receiving encouragement from one another to prepare for the near future. The Bible's word in Hebrews for receive means remember what you're going to receive in eternity. Understand that even though you're going through a difficult time, and this was written to people who had been going through persecution and more was coming, remember your perspective that this earth, this life on earth, is not the ultimate of what God has prepared you for. It's for an eternity where there will not be persecution, there will not be tears, there will not be sorrow. So even though you might be struggling right now, even though you're facing something that feels impossible, understand that there has been a crown prepared for you through Jesus that is worth anything that you could go through today. And to me, that's such an important thing to grasp in our lives, that in the most challenging times of our life, what I'm going through right now is not the ultimate in my life. It's not even permanent. It's temporary. There is prepared for us a crown of eternity that if we focus on that at times of difficulty, it makes going through challenging times much easier because we understand that God has prepared something for us that is utterly, utterly incomprehensible. Habakkuk even talks about that this is Paul's translation. If I told you what God had prepared for you, you couldn't even grasp it. It's so magnificent. So we trust the Lord. We remember the joy. We persevere through difficult times because we're going to receive something that is indescribably awesome, that is not for a season, but that's forever. So as we turn to confess our faith, understand that confession of faith is a part of what is our anchor, not just for today, but for tomorrow and forever. So let's arise and share together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning's prayers of the people are found on page 6 of your bulletin, Form 6. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God. for all people in their daily life and work, for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone, for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble,
for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy,
for the peace and unity of the Church of God,
for all who proclaim the gospel,
and all who seek
the truth,
for Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, for our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for Pastor Paul, and for all bishops and other ministers,
for all who serve God and his church.
We pray for the special needs and concerns of this congregation. We lift up the people on our prayer for Lillian, for Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Irv, Julie, Bill, and Judy, Joan, Karen, Lois, Michael, Art, Marilyn, Velta, Rose, Dave, George, and for Friends of Advent, Beverly, Tony, Sylvia, Kaylin, and the Eliza Jennings residents. We pray for their needs and their health. Hear us, Lord,
for your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, our God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. We pray for all those who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
Join me in our prayer. O God, who inspired your apostles in Jerusalem to pray and
fast to discern your will,
send us in the vestry of your parish your Spirit, that together we may learn what you would have us do in calling a rector and revealing to us the words and witness you would have us offer, that your kingdom may come and your power be made known among our congregation, to the glory of your name. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone.
And so uphold us by your Spirit,
that we may live and serve you in the newness of life,
to the honor and glory of your name,
through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
So today is Gift Sunday. The subject of gift is fear must fall. Fear is one of those giants in our lives, and I'm sure none of us experience fear now or ever in the past or in the future. So therefore, you don't need to come. On the other hand, if you have experienced fear or you anticipate it, we invite you to come this morning for an hour right after the service. Louis Giglio will help us understand how the Lord helps us deal with fear in our lives. So please join us. There's a bulletin insert for poinsettias. Believe it or not, we are about 5 weeks away from Christmas. Yes. So it's an opportunity for you to beautify the church during the Christmas and Advent season by signing up with for poinsettias. So we invite you to sign up. Speaking of Advent, that Advent season is upon us soon, and we need readers for the Advent readings at the beginning of the service. So please let us know, let Joanne know if you are willing to read in one or more of the Sundays. Today is November 18th. It's the last Sunday of our stewardship campaign, so we encourage you to fill in the stewardship form if you've not already done so. And if you have, thank you very much for your faithfulness in continuing the ministry here at Advent. Also, last Sunday being Veterans Sunday, in the past we have given church members an opportunity to support an organization that is of assistance to veterans. This year we are making envelopes available for Fisher House. So if you would like to contribute to Fisher House's ministry, Max and Jim in the back will give you some Fisher House envelopes for you to make a contribution to that organization. Finally, let's talk about December 14th, the Dan Schutte concert, God is with us. God with us. God is with us too, but the theme of that concert is God with us. The bulletin in the lower left-hand corner has some suggestions of things that you can do to help us promote that. So we have several of these flyers available in back. I invite you to take several and hand them out to friends, neighbors. We also have these little postcards in back that says on the front, God with us with Dan Schutte, presented by Advent Episcopal Church, Friday, December 14th, 7 p.m. And on the back, it says, join composer Dan Schutte for an evening of beautiful music, Advent reflection and fellowship. Bring your family and friends and celebrate God with us. $10 per person. Call the church office to reserve and pay for a seat. And it gives us the address. So there are many of these back in the back also. These are a convenient little way to hand out to friends and neighbors as a means of reminding them and inviting them to come. There are no tickets, so the way you gain admission is you pay money, either cash or check or credit card. Call Joanne. She will take. She will receive your cash, receive your check, receive your credit card number. She'll keep a list then of those people who have paid, and they will be checked off at the night of the concert. So there will not be tickets sold at the door, and there aren't going to be tickets actually issued. The admission is by check, cash, or money, check, cash, or credit card, as I've explained. So, yes. Two or three people who will keep track of, yes, so Coa Evans has paid, therefore she's entitled to come. Coa Evans is not paid, she's shut out. So yes, we're not, we're trying to get all the admissions taken care of in advance.
Dick?
Yes.
The spheres that you held up?
Yes.
They also make great coasters. And on top of that, they're shrinky dink Frisbees. So they're multi-purpose.
But that's not their primary purpose, Pastor Paul.
And what would that be?
Their primary purpose is to promote the concert. Give them out to people, invite them to come, encourage them to call, and if you've given Joanne a notice that you want to reserve 2-3 spaces, that's great, but we need paid. So there won't be any money collected at the door. Marilyn.
He was mentioning Dan Schutte. I have a concert on the 3rd of December. It's at 170 Seminary Street. It's the United Methodist Church. And it says, Carol Me Sweetly. And the tickets are $12.50 ahead of time and $15 at the door, and it's at 3 p.m. on the 2nd of December. It's a Sunday. Thank you.
Going along with GIF, Fear Must Fall, I think Pastor Paul touched on this. I wanted to thank everybody for that snowblower out there. I only ordered it. You guys contributed to it, so we got that snowblower, and we didn't have to dig into Mr. McCormick's budget to do that. So the fear of snow has been removed. The second item is, once again, I'll remind you, if you're into the church for anything during the week, please make sure that front door is locked. It was left open. Somebody found it open. I came in here Saturday, and there were lights on. Lights weren't turned off. So just double check. If you're in the church, even though you lock the door, just check to make sure somebody else has locked that front door, because it is not a spring lock. You actually have to turn it into the lock position. The other doors lock as soon as you release the key. But once again, thank you for that snowblower. I think we're good for the winter, Pastor Paul.
Peace the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And following up on Dick's announcement about the Dan Schutte concert, I'll do my speech. Hear ye, hear ye. That is what was announced back in the day when people needed to know information. If you received the Elyria Chronicle Telegram newspaper last week, there was a full-page color ad advertising the Dan Schutte concert. This week, Westlife produced the same ad. They will produce it in 2 weeks. The Lorain Morning Journal will also advertise the ad starting next week and the following week. So we are hitting all of the major newspapers. I'm still working on twisting the arm of the Sun Life to get it into their newspaper too. So we are getting wide coverage through all of Western Cuyahoga County and Lorain County as well.
Let's take a moment now and present our offerings to the Lord. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Thank you.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took the cup and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
As you come to receive, I encourage you to come in faith and anticipation of what the Lord has provided for us. Let's share together the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you to life everlasting. Amen. Now, as you anticipate celebrating Thanksgiving this week, receive that blessing of family and friends as you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. just, I couldn't get the time down.
I know, it's a trick.